Praise and thanks be to the Lord that we can sing it, believe it, and also experience it. That is just part of it. Singing will not take us up, nor will praying, but it leads us to the experience. We sing because we believe. We pray because we believe. We preach because we believe. And we experience because we believe. Faith is a gift from God. And we did not become believers in order not to believe. We became believers in order to believe. Yes, a believer should always be expected to believe. And the Lord himself gave the promise, saying, "Oh, that you could believe, you would see the glory of God." Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. What a comforting and faith-strengthening word. When the Lord begins, it is not only temporal, but as it is written here, from now until eternity. When God begins His work with a person, it ends in eternity. God does nothing for a short time, but everything He does is done for eternity. And so we can believe that He has done everything in you and in me, is still doing it now, and will continue to do it for eternity. Not for time, but for eternity. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. Even if many other things happen to us, He protects our souls. We see this with Job. The enemy could touch many things, but he could not touch his soul. He was a man who believed that his Redeemer lives, and we also believe that our Redeemer lives. He has spoken to us. He has taken care of us. He has revealed His word and His will to us. May He succeed tonight in speaking to us in a fatherly way, in winning us completely for Himself, that we would be there for Him as for a thing that is most precious and exciting to us. From an earthly perspective, people have things that they are absorbed in. No distance is too far, no price too high, no circumstances matter. When they give themselves to a cause, they give it their all. And that's what we want to be for the Lord. All for Jesus. All for Him. That's how we want to go through life. Half-heartedness brings us no gain. We want to be all for Jesus. As the song goes, He has chosen us completely. He has given all for us. He has sacrificed all for us. All. Not just partially, fully, with everything that was in Him. So we too should be at His disposal with everything that is in us. Not just a little bit somewhere that is then meant for Him, but really all of it. And the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the more important it should be for us to be completely for Him. Tonight, we too lift up our eyes to the hills and know from whom our help comes. Here in verse 2 it says, My help cometh from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. So, a mighty God, an almighty God, who spoke all things into existence through His Word. And if those who have orbited in space several times had realized that there must be such a majesty behind everything, instead of grasping this, one of them made a remark, We have not seen God. Yes, if you could meet God by traveling up there, who would meet Him? Only people who can get in there. No, we can only meet God in a completely different way, not in a spaceship, not in outer space, but in Jesus Christ, on the cross of Calvary, namely where He met us. Only there we can meet Him. Only there where God became man, where He made Himself known to mankind, where He made the covenant with mankind, where He accomplished reconciliation, only there we can meet Him. That is where all religions, all doctrines, everything is eliminated. Only one remains, and they saw no man save Jesus only. God was in Christ and reconciled the world to Himself. In Christ, we meet God. In Christ, we see God. In Christ, we hear God. In Christ, God has revealed Himself. And for this, we are grateful. We lift up our eyes to God in faith and pray from the bottom of our hearts that He may help us and be close to us, and we will trust Him that He will bless us even tonight. Well, we are still going to read something from the Holy Scriptures. First, the beginning of Psalm 122. I was glad when they said unto me, Let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and company's sakes, we have experienced this again and again on our journeys. The tension is greater for him than for any of us. At the moment when the mountains become a little clear and you can get your first glimpse of the city, it is simply announced by the person who is inspired by it. Those who are not so directly involved will not fully understand it. Here, we are given a comparison. I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." Beloved, we, as the people of God from the nations, are inspired. Something happens in us when it says, "We are going now to the service." It's something completely different when someone says, "We are going to the city, we are going to the airport, or we are going here or there." Be honest. When it says, "We are going to the service," something is going on inside us. Is that true? That's just the way it is. That's the way it is. And if it's not like that yet, then it has to become like that. The thought of coming under God's word, praising the Lord, hearing what he has to say to us, overwhelms us. Who are we for God to speak to us at all? If reconciliation had not taken place in Christ, if the curse had not been lifted from us, and the judgment that has befallen us, God would not have given us a second glance. But because he sees us through Christ, he sees us through the shed blood, and he does not see the good for nothing. He sees sons and daughters of God. He sees a blood-bought multitude. People who by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. That's how it is clearly written in the letter to the Hebrews. For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Hebrews 10, verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. I wanted to read another word. Perhaps it is already in chapter 9. For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. But you know the scriptures yourselves. I wanted to read a few words from the prophet Isaiah in chapter 59. You all know it is sometimes not easy to speak in a place or in a church where there are many hardships. And when a word is read, it could happen that one or the other thinks, now I am meant. Beloved, we cannot override God's word. We cannot circumvent it. We cannot choose what was allowed to be written or what should now be read. We simply have to encounter every word. We have to face the word. And if the Lord speaks to us, then thank Him for it. If He no longer speaks to us, woe to us. If He has nothing more to say to us, where should we go? No, we stay with Him, for He has words of eternal life. Isaiah 59. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy, that it cannot hear. This is said at the beginning, but then the warning comes immediately. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear, for your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue has muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. Maybe up to here. It is a word that certainly does not apply to any of us, but it is nonetheless suitable for reflection. In the Old Testament, God said things by name, and here we read, they form a middle wall of partition between you and your God. And if we take this very word, middle wall of partition, and read it in the New Testament, then the Lord has taken away this middle wall of partition. The separating element has been removed, and no man needs to remain in the state he is in. Gospel means good news. The gospel does not condemn us. The gospel shows us, the condemned, the way of salvation. And we must recognize this once and for all and believe it. It says here, in Colossians chapter 2, Colossians chapter 2 from verse 13, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross.
Indem er ihn ans Kreuz heftete.
Beloved, as we have already emphasized, we have read in the prophet Isaiah that we have become guilty, and we have read it in the New Testament that God, through Christ, has made us alive with Him, having forgiven us all trespasses by grace. Anyone who still puts transgressions on the agenda is trampling on the blood of Jesus Christ and has not understood what salvation, reconciliation and redemption mean. The Holy Scriptures teaches that when we were still enemies, when we're not even there, God adopted us by grace and made us sons and daughters of God in Christ. We must truly realize before the face of God that the accuser of the brethren has no right to accuse. Who will bring any charge against God's elect? Who will accuse them? Christ is here who has justified them. And if He has justified them, then we read in Romans 8, those whom He has justified, He has also sanctified, and them He also glorified. Why do we torment and torture ourselves? Because we have not fully grasped the redemption that God has given us in Christ from a divine perspective and believed it. Everything that is and was and will be in the life of a child of God has been settled once and for all on the cross of Calvary from the first to the last second. There is no demand that Satan can make retrospectively. The handwriting of ordinances that was written against me was also torn up on Golgotha. Is that true or not? Your letter of requirement was also torn up there. When the debt has been paid and the letter of requirement has been torn up, who is going to say, you are guilty, now I will grab you, and now it's your turn, I will show you? No. We have accepted salvation intellectually to this day, but we have not looked through divine revelation into the perfect law of the liberty of the children of God and grasped in perfect faith this whole redemption that has included us. And therefore we think that we still have to add a little. Here, in this word, we are clearly told, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses,
indem er uns alle Übertretungen aus Gnaden vergeben hat.
When He has forgiven, no one needs to talk about it anymore, and whoever does so brings back the things from under the blood. And I'm telling you very openly and very freely, I don't want to stand in the shoes of someone who considers what happened on Calvary to be invalid and wants to see a state of affairs before him, not for himself, perhaps for others, that was true before Calvary, but cannot be true after the atonement. If we believe that God has reconciled mankind to Himself in Christ, forgiven all transgressions, atoned for them, atoned to the last, and that there is absolutely no longer the slightest right of the enemy, then we see that the bill of debt has been torn up and that everything has been settled by God. And if we believe this, what else can we do but thank God, give Him the honor, and say, Lord, I will never grasp that You have done this, but I can believe it and claim it for myself personally. You also saw me before I was here. What does David write in Psalm 139? Thine eyes did see my substance as a formless seed. God saw the germ that was somewhere on the way. God saw you and me. He chose us before the foundation of the world. He knew us, then spoke to us, and called us to Himself, opened our hearts and eyes, so that we could accept salvation in faith, and said, You are mine, I have redeemed you, and called you by name. Salvation has come to you. And as we read in the Psalm, from now until eternity, not from now until the next 10 years, from now until eternity, God is not a human being who changes His mind constantly. No, God's decisions are eternal, legally binding forever. Blessed is the person who can grasp this in faith and actually takes it to heart. Before I was here, before I did anything at all, God saw me and pardoned me in Christ. It also says that the Lord will lead or bring those who have fallen asleep together with Christ. Most people who think that Christ has already come have certainly overlooked this. In 1 Thessalonians 4, in verse 14, it says, For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. Without Jesus, nothing works in the kingdom of God, but with Him, everything works. And when this is transfigured for us by the Spirit, then we realize what Paul could say and write with conviction. I am crucified with Christ. I was buried with Him and rose with Him to a new life. Everything happened in Christ. But in all humility, he writes to the Galatians, when the time was fulfilled and God revealed His Son in me, there must be a revelation of Jesus Christ in our lives. As surely as the Redeemer revealed the love of God here, the love of God must be revealed in the redeemed. Through Him we have been made sons of God. When John writes, Beloved, now we are children of God. Yes, what are we then? Sure, we are still human, but we are God's children. And he said, it does not yet appear what we shall be, but when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Hallelujah. I simply believe that. After all, I don't look to myself. I look to my Lord, to my Redeemer. And no child of God will succeed unless we look away from everything and look to the author and finisher of our faith. Otherwise, we will not reach the goal. In the Old Testament, we are shown what the middle wall of partition is that grieves God, why God has withdrawn. In the New Testament, we are shown how this middle wall of partition was removed, how God's reconciliation with humanity took place, and the tide turned. One came to an end, and the other began. That is why our Lord could say, this is the new covenant in my blood, a new covenant. I will remember their sins and their transgressions no more. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. I will write my word in their hearts. All this is a divine reality. Beloved, let us believe God and honor him by faith, for this is the way that he may show us his salvation, the salvation of our God. Here it says, for your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue has muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. But thanks be to God that there are people who simply have forgiveness and who forgive, to whom nothing has been imputed and who can impute nothing. Oh, if only we could look at each other from a divine perspective. When I look at you, dear brother and sister, from the throne of God, how do I see you? As some old rag? No. As someone who has been justified, pardoned, and reconciled by God. As a person who has been granted salvation, full salvation through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We want to see each other with divine eyes and thank the Lord for his gracious acceptance of us and for the fact that he has truly counted nothing against us. A person may not forgive this or that and forgets one thing and not another, and holding this and that against you. With God, it's all very different. He has cast our sins into the deepest sea. And not only that, the blood of the Lamb has flowed. And because the blood of the Lamb has flowed, there is complete reconciliation, full salvation, grace, that no longer needs to be supplemented. Those who experience it do not come up short, but we must accept the breadth and width and the extent of the divine act of salvation on Calvary for ourselves personally in faith. And I tell you, it will bow us down, it will humble us, and we say, Lord, who am I that you have done these things to me and with me when we were still enemies? But this enmity has been removed. I think it is somewhere in Romans 5 where it says that it happened to us while we were still enemies. In Romans 5, yes, verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. We could read on. They are all familiar words. Perhaps just this one verse. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Then later you can read for yourselves that the righteousness of our God came also by one man. Perhaps I should still read it, namely verse 13. Or rather, verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. You can read all these verses in context. We all know what came upon us through Adam. Nobody needs to make that clear to us. But do we also know what has come upon us all through the second Adam, through Christ, that we have been taken out of the first realm by God, and that the sons of men have become sons of God, that those who were far off are made nigh. The enmity has been taken away. We have been reconciled by grace. If we claim this for ourselves in faith, what is then left to us but to offer our heartfelt thanks to the Lord for the great privilege of recognizing God's plan of salvation, that we can accept God's offer of grace for us personally and say, Lord, this is how you have done it with me. That is how it is, and that is how it will remain from now until eternity. You have turned the children of men into children of God, the lost into the saved, and all this By grace, the middle wall of partition has been taken away, and whoever puts it up again is not on God's side. God has taken it away, and whoever puts it up again is not on God's side. That is an adversary of God. I say that again, deliberately. God has taken everything away through the cross, but he who raises up the middle wall of partition again, raises up irreconcilability again, raises up hatred again, raises up everything that was before, and thus places himself on the other side of Golgotha, and not on God's side, on which all those stand who have been justified and pardoned, who have been reconciled, and who have experienced the salvation of God. Where do we stand tonight? Where do you stand? On the side before something happened? Or have you come to the cross? Not just with a mind. And that is the lamentable thing among the believers of this time. I can well understand Brother Branham when he says, I'm afraid that people only get as far as a church when they convert, but do not get to Christ and really have their experience with him personally. Beloved, God wants to reveal himself to us. He wants us to experience him. He wants to transfigure Golgotha anew and tell us, my sons and my daughters, I have done everything for you. It is finished. My blood is the atonement for your sins. The letter of ordinances has been torn up. Everything has been settled. You are redeemed. You are mine from now on for all eternity. Do not take these words we have read lightly. Let us take them to heart and say, Lord, let me take my stand in faith. And faith is connected with Golgotha, with the word of the cross, with the victory that took place on Golgotha, with reconciliation, with redemption. If someone re-emphasizes the previous state, no one can believe him. He must deny the faith beforehand, and by denying the faith, he denies the deed that happened. Anyone who truly believes that a great day of reconciliation between God and humanity in Christ Jesus, the Son of God, took place on Golgotha, should take God's side and say, Lord, I have been shown mercy, mercy that I am not worth it, as the song goes. I count this among the marvelous. My proud heart has not desired it, as the song goes. Oh, all the songwriters have tried, and the preachers have done their best. May God, through the Spirit, take the word and show us Calvary from God's perspective, this complete redemption, complete reconciliation, full salvation, and the grace of God in such a way that we can all rejoice and say, Lord, you have done this, I believe it, and accept it in faith for myself personally. To you, who stepped into the breach for me, who took my place, who bore my judgment and my punishment, so that I may have peace. I thank you from the bottom of my heart for this great act of redemption which was granted to me. Truly, our punishment was laid on him, that we might have peace, and by his stripes we are healed. You too, dear heart, if there is still an inner struggle within you, and you do not know exactly where you stand, today you shall find out. Stand on God's side. Come under the cross. Recognize what God has done in Christ. No longer look back. And believe it, that you too have been reconciled. That your debt has been paid and your sin forgiven. And that the Lord meant you when he accomplished the work of redemption. May the blessing of God rest upon us all. Amen. Let us stand and pray. Heavenly Father, with all my heart, I thank you for your precious and holy word. Lord, your servant Paul has said, to us is committed the ministry of reconciliation, and we cry out to men, be ye reconciled to God. Lord, this reconciliation and redemption has taken place. The work has been accomplished. The letter of ordinances has been torn. The middle wall of partition removed. Faithful Lord, open our spiritual eyes to see what you have done for us. Beloved Savior, place us in a state of faith in which all things become possible, and we could gain access to the fulfillment of all the promises given. Beloved Lord, bless especially my two brothers who have left this service entirely to me. Lord, you know their hearts. Faithful God in heaven, you also know my heart, as I have asked them to come to the front. Lord, we thank you together that we can esteem each other higher than ourselves, and that we can serve you together and proclaim your precious and holy word. O Lord, may this proclamation be accompanied with divine confirmation, Lord. Do it tonight. May it penetrate into every heart and through every soul what you have done, and that it was for us, that we were already in you, even before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. Who can grasp it? Who can fathom it? But just as we were all earthly in Adam, and in the course of time came forth into an earthly body, so we were all in God, spiritually speaking, and his seed has fallen into our souls, and we have been born again. O Lord, how marvelous are your thoughts, and glorious are your ways. Lord God Almighty, King of the nations, thank you that you still speak to us. O revive us anew. Give us the spirit of prayer, O Lord. gratitude. Help us to better endure the trials, that we may no longer grieve you, O Lord, but go forward in faith. Bless us all, especially those who are still in inner struggle, who do not yet have certainty of faith, Lord. Come to their aid. Reveal yourself to each one. We also pray for all those who have already heard your word, but have not been able to penetrate, wherever they may be, Lord. Give us a great expectation of all that you are yet to do, and put us in the position and attitude towards you that you could do it. O Lord, may your blood, your word, and your spirit work in us all for the glorification and honor of your holy name.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.